Blog Talk Radio.
A blossom fell from off a tree. It settled softly on the lips you turned to me. The gypsies say, and I know why. A falling blossom only touches lips that lie. A blossom fell, and very soon I saw you kissing someone new beneath the moon. I thought you loved me. You said you loved me. We planned together to dream forever. The dream has ended, for true love died the night a blossom fell and touched two lips that lie. Blossom fell, and very soon I saw you kissing someone new beneath the moon. I thought you loved me. You said you loved me. We planned together to dream forever. The dream has ended, for true love died the night a blossom fell and touched two lips that lied.
That we dedicated, the blossom that fell was Neda in Iran. And she's only one of many blossoms that have fallen off the tree.
Spare.
Governor Sanford. Sir, what's your favorite song? Nothing could be keener than to be in Argentina in the morning. What's your second favorite song? Don't cry for me, Carolina.
Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina in the morning. No one could be sweeter than my sweetie when I meet her in the morning. Where the morning glories twine around the door, whispering pretty stories I long to hear once more. Strolling with my girlie where the dew is pearly early in the morning. Butterflies all flutter up and kiss each little buttercup at dawning. If I had a land lamp for only a day, I'd make a wish, and here's what I'd say. Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina in the morning. Where the morning glories twine around the dawn, I long to hear once more. Rolling with my girlie where the dew is pearly early in the morning. Butterflies all flutter up and kiss each little buttercup at dawning. If I had a land lamp for only a day, I'd make a wish, and here's what I'd say. Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina in a morning.
Bartender, can we get a lamentation song based consequences and admitted that we have a governor on the prowl, but at least he went outside the 3-mile limit to sin. So, what does he get? Does he get a consolation prize? You know what? I'm very disappointed in all these governors and all these politicians. I think we're going to have to fit them all for chastity belts. You never see the women doing, cheating on anybody. You don't see Hillary Clinton cheating on Bill. You don't see Ruth Bader Meinhof Ginsburg cheating. You don't see Olympia Snow cheating. You don't see Madeleine Albright cheating. I mean, I think it's time that we elected a woman a president. You don't see, what's that one's name that's has two last names? Never trust a woman with two last names. When you have a woman with two last names, you have a walking catastrophe on your hands. Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And never trust a woman whose middle name is a test for VD. Thomas More Law Center has sent me a bulletin saying that they're still going after Lieutenant Colonel Chesani. You know what? My friends, we're in trouble. We have a CIA that can't get out of its own way. We got a FIB that's protecting mosques. That's the only duty they're pulling. You got military intelligence that has no idea what's going on. And you got a State Department that I believe, I only seen it only hit the news once and then it disappeared, but had a gay pride day in the Iraqi embassy. Could you imagine being an Iraqi working in that embassy and seeing those shenanigans? You don't think that every mosque in Iraq has heard that story tonight? Yeah. And in the meantime, the Iranian people who want a taste of freedom are having their tongues cut out. And President Obama bin Laden pulls two words from the Democrat dictionary, shocked and appalled. Every time they get caught stealing, they're shocked and appalled. Every time they get caught with their pants down, they're shocked and appalled. And I called it. I said that they were going to use those two words, and I was right. Shocked and appalled. Unbelievable. How sad. And speaking of shocked and appalled, we had 20,000 more troops in Afghanistan. And the body count under President Bush stopped at 561. Anybody who dies after 561 in a body count now belongs to Obama. And I'm watching Fox last night, and they got a video, a combat video of a helicopter gunship stalking about 14 Taliban. And they're on a winding trail, and they're heading towards a village. And it's at nighttime, and the helicopter has picked them up on the infrared and has clearly identified them as Taliban. And the commander of the helicopter had to ask for permission to take the shot 6 times before he got an okay. Do you know what that is? That's previews of the Clinton administration when they wouldn't take the shot at bin Laden. And they're doing it again. 6 times the guy had to ask to take the shot. And each time that he asked, the Taliban were moving closer to a village for cover and safety. So each time that whoever was on the other end was checking with Obama bin Laden for an okay, the Taliban were getting closer to a village, which would incur collateral damage, or the shot would have been called off. It's almost as if the Taliban are giving the okay to kill the Taliban. The Washington, D.C. Taliban. This is absolutely a disgrace. And you know what? The day will come when your military will walk off the battlefield. They'll do a French army, a routine. You keep stringing them out, and you keep sacrificing them unnecessarily. And God help you, and God help me and everybody else. And now they're saying tonight that before Obama was president, he was making overtures to the Iranians. Yeah, you want to kill your own people. We're not going to get involved. I wonder if those Iranians were black, what would he do? Would he send Acorn? I think Acorn's already in Iran. I think it's Acorn that rigged the election. How sad. Absolutely sad. The fools have taken over the asylum. And we're all going to go along for the ride. And you're not going to like it. It's going to be very bumpy. Stand by. I'm going to check Twitter. Last night we tried to get the Iranians to send their votes to Twitter. I went out to everybody I knew to see if we could encourage the Iranians to send their votes into Twitter. And everybody went, duh, what? What's an Iranian?
Hang in there, boys and girls. We're coming up on Argentina Part 2.
Yeah, the Burqa curtain is descending on Iran. Less and less news is getting out. I did see a video of a young man who was beaten by three of the Basaji police, and they were tearing his pants off, and they ended up beating him. He was beating him to where he had a lot of he felt the pain, and I flashed back watching this scene. I flashed back to Bob Simon being interviewed after he was taken under Saddam Hussein to a Baghdad prison. He was probably taken to Abu Ghraib. And the interviewer was interviewing Bob Simon, and he says, did you notice that Arabs scream differently than Americans under torture? And Simon got real shook up. And he said yes. So anyway, they beat this kid in the street, and then they picked him up, and they put him in the trunk of the police car. How's that? How would you like to see that in New York? Now, hang in there. We're going to find the tune. A tune of revolution. By the way, the kid that was beaten up was not beaten up on the streets of Tehran. I think the city was Khorramabad.
The land of cotton, old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixieland where I was born, and early one cold frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixieland I'd take my stand and live and die.
I took this off of Twitter. I thought I would share it with you. This is about the girl that took the shot in the chest. Her name was Nada. I talked about her last night on the show. Well, here's what they did to Nada's family. The home of Nada Aga Sultan. The Iranian authorities have ordered the family of Nada Aga Sultan out of their Tehran home after shocking images of her death were circulated around the world. Neighbors said that her family no longer lives in the four-floor apartment building on Meshkini Street in eastern Tehran, having been forced to move since she was killed. And here's the real, you want to see how these people deal with the dissidents? The police did not hand the body back to her family. The funeral was canceled. She was buried without letting her family know. So her family may not even know where she's buried. And the government banned mourning ceremonies at mosques, the neighbors said. How's that for separation of church and state? We just know that they, the family, were forced to leave their flat, a neighbor said. The Guardian was unable to contact the family directly to confirm that it had been forced to leave. The government is also accusing protesters of killing Sultan, describing her as a martyr of the Basaji militia. Javan, a pro-government newspaper, has gone so far as to blame the recently expelled BBC correspondent, John Laney, of hiring thugs to shoot her so he could make a documentary film. These people sick or what? Are they devious? You think the devil's not there? You don't think Shaitan sits in the mullah headquarters? Sultan was shot dead on Saturday evening near the scene of clashes between pro-government militias and demonstrators, turning her into a symbol of the Iranian protest movement. Barack Obama spoke of the searing image of Sultan's dying moments at his press conference yesterday. I didn't hear it. What is there, a media blackout on what Obama says? Obama speaks? Amid scenes of grief in the Sultan household, with her father and mother screaming, neighbors not only from their building but from others in the area streamed out to protest her death, but the police moved in quickly to quell any public displays of grief. They arrived as soon as they found out that a friend of Sultan had come to the family flat. Her name is Nada. In accordance with a Persian tradition, the family had put up a mourning announcement and attached a black banner to the building, but the police took it down, refusing to allow the family to show any signs of mourning. The next day, they were ordered to move out. Since then, neighbors have received suspicious calls warning them not to discuss her death with anyone and not to make any protest. Yeah, your government at work. You don't think this couldn't happen here? It's already happening here. Yeah, they pass certain laws. The area in front of Sultan's house was empty today. There was no sign of black cloths, banners, or mourning. Secret police patrolled the street. We are trembling, one neighbor said. We are still afraid. We haven't had a peaceful time in the last days, let alone her family. Nobody was allowed to console her family. They were alone. They were under arrest, and their daughter was just killed. I can't imagine how painful it was for them. Her friends came to console her family, but the police did not let them in and forced them to disperse and arrested some of them. Nader's family were not even given a quiet moment to grieve. This is a mullahs. These are religious clerics that are running this country, doing God's work. Another man said they may have turned up to show their sympathy had it not been for the police. In Iran, when someone dies, neighbors visit the family and will not let them stay alone for weeks. But Nader's family was forced to be alone, otherwise the whole of Iran would gather here. He said that the government is terrible. They are even accusing pro-Mousavi people of killing Nader, and have just written in their websites that Nader is a Basiji government militia martyr. That's ridiculous. If that's true, why don't they let her family hold any funeral or ceremonies? Since the election, you are not able to trust one word from the government, a shopkeeper said. He had often met Sultan, who used to come to his store, Nader. She was a kind, innocent girl. She treated me well, and I appreciated her behavior. I was surprised when I found out she was killed by the Mullah's police, the Mullah Gestapo. I'm ad-libbing. I knew she was a student, as she mentioned that she was going to university. She always had a nice, peaceful smile, and now she has been sacrificed for the government's vote rigging in the presidential election. All I can tell you, folks, is if you wanna get your vote counted, send it to Twitter. Ask Twitter to start keeping score. Send all Iranian votes to Twitter. And if you can't get Twitter to do it, find somebody who can do it and send your vote to them. Find somebody that's trustworthy, fair and impartial, like Fox News. Send it to somebody. Get it out of your country. Your vote doesn't count in your country. Let somebody else count your vote for you. This is for Nader.
Thank you.
What's with all these politicians that they all have to go sin as soon as they get a nice political job? What is it, like, is it a ritual? I can't believe it. This guy Sanford. Hello, Sanford. Yeah, where are you? I'm in the Appalachians. Let me hear the wind rustling through the trees.
We dance to a tango of love. Your heart beats with mine as we sway. Your eyes give the answer I'm dreaming of. That soft word your cruel lips will never say. I fear that the music will end and shatter the spell it may lend to make me believe when your eyes just deceive. But it's only the tango you love.
And this guy's wife says she's open to reconciliation. And then you had Hillary. I mean, she was the laughing stock of the entire world. And she played Tammy Wynette. She should have played Lizzie Borden and given her husband 40 whacks. Yeah, I love the way they all stand by their man. They made our marriage stronger. Hey, what's the story here? They don't sell cast iron frying pans anymore? Oh, God. Play me a torch song. You see, I grew up to songs like Frankie and Johnny. Frankie and Johnny weren't two gay guys. Frankie and Johnny were a man and a woman. And Johnny caught Frankie in bed with Nellie Bly. And Frankie blew Johnny's brains out. Yeah. And he had done her wrong. Yep. Frankie went down to the drugstore. No, the gun store. Pulled out a roll 44. And there was Johnny 2 minutes later, sprawled out on the floor. He was her man, but he was doing her wrong. Frankie was doing her wrong. Yeah, you got to get that song. It'll tell you everything you want to know about the relationships. Hey, Governor, are you sure you're in the Appalachians? I never seen bananas in the Appalachians. Oh, the governor walked into the Appalachian Hills and he came out at the airport. Oh, here's the governor now in a nice gaucho outfit. Hey, Governor, what was it like in the woods? I get it. You had an attack of tangoitis. That's what that is. You have to go into Latin American rehab. Soon, you'll be known as the bull of the Pampas. You know when you'll be able to know that you're recovering in rehab? When they begin the beguine. Governor, when do you think you'll be ready to come back to work?
that orchestra's playing, and even the floor seemed to be swaying when they begin the beginning to live it again. Is past all endeavor, except when that tune clutches my heart. And there we are, swearing to love forever, and promising clouds come along to disperse the joys we had tasted. And now when I hear people curse the chance that was wasted, I know but too well what they mean. Oh yes, let them begin, the beginning.
What's with all these politicians that they all have to go sin as soon as they get a nice political job? What is it, like, is it a ritual? I can't believe it. This guy Sanford. Hello, Sanford. Yeah, where are you? I'm in the Appalachians. Let me hear the wind rustling through the trees. Sanford should team up with John Edwards. And Sanford could be the driver and keep the car running in the motel garage while Edwards goes up and makes a baby. Yeah. What, you know what? Teenagers have more restraint than these clowns. They're real clowns. Many years ago when I was a young man, an Italian sage said to me, rule number one in life, never poop where you eat. Dogs don't do it. Well, as a governor, he went to Argentina. Edwards, he goes to the local hotel. Now, who's fair and partial here? It is really sad, absolutely sad. Let me give you a c'est la vie. It's a little lesson in what cannot be.
In love with him, what was meant to be must be. C'est la vie, c'est la vie. Life's a funny thing when it comes to love. You don't always conquer one you're dreaming of, as they say in old Paris, c'est la vie, c'est la vie. Those who fall in love agree, it's the unknown. unsolved mystery. If your big romance cannot be, you'll find someone new, Sherry.
There goes Lucky Joe.
There goes Lucky Joe. What a happy guy. He just found a sweetheart, but no one's gonna cry. Though he stole her love from me. C'est la vie, c'est la vie,
As we turn towards the end of the show, I'm going to find another tribute to the Iranians. While they licked their wounds and pondered the fact that their mullahs don't care about them but want to control them. I listened to a talk show host. I can't stand Americans who do 2 weeks in the Middle East and all of a sudden they're Middle East experts. I remember when I came back from Kuwait after the first Gulf War. They had a woman on TV, and she had a book, and the name of the book was There's 99 Names for God. According to Islamic teaching, God has 99 names. So somebody told her that, and she went and she filled up 400 pages of gobbledygook. She was an expert. And when I was in Kuwait, I was with a Lebanese American who was a Catholic, a graduate of Notre Dame. I hope he graduated before they went communist. And a Lebanese Muslim. And we used to laugh about the so-called experts on the Middle East. I said, yes, I've been here 3 days now, and that makes me an Arabist. I've often wanted to go on talk shows and just wear a badge that says expert or a minister without portfolio when it comes to politics. How sad we are as a nation. And I'll give you a good example of how sad we are. We have no idea what's going on in the rest of the world. As a matter of fact, somebody said that half the students in the United States couldn't find Iraq on a map. But here's a classic example. Right after 9/11, the liberals were afraid that the spirit of America was going to rise up and they were going to go into all the 7-Elevens and execute all the Hindus, believing they were Muslim. And this guy was running for mayor. I think his name was Green. And he wanted to show that we were compassionate and we looked out for the plight of the Islamic world. So and they were afraid that there was going to be a lot of retribution. And fortunately, that didn't happen. And I also remember a young Lebanese girl crying and apologizing for what had just taken place, like she took the whole burden of responsibility because she was an Arab. And I reached out to her and I said, you don't have to apologize to anybody. You are one of us. But going back to the politicians who were supposed to know better, I think the guy's name is Mark Green. He was running for mayor. And he got a hold of a few microphones, you know, like they do. And he said that we have to protect the sheiks because the sheiks drive taxis. And I said to myself, I flashed back to a friend of mine in Kuwait who was a Muslim and who told me, he said, Tom, do you know that the Sikhs They cannot cut their hair till the last Muslim in the world is dead. So, this mayor, Green, or attempted mayor, Green, he was calling Sikhs, sheikhs. Now, the last time I saw a sheikh in a cab, he wasn't in a cab. He was in a limo, and he was in the back seat. And he had an American driver. So, please, spare me all these people who are experts on the Middle East. Obama believes he believes that a lion will sit down with the lamb until lunchtime. Yeah. He better wake up or he's gonna have a very red hiney. So let me go back to the Iranian people and pay another tribute as we close our show tonight. If there's any time left, I'll throw in a couple extra tunes. And it's too bad that this Iran shut down. They got no help. They got no encouragement. And the only thing was the Prime Minister of France wants to outlaw the burqa. That's how he's retaliating. He's afraid that one day they'll make him wear it. Hang in there. A lot of Iranians speak French, so we'll close with Alabina and the Gypsy Kings in Comme Toi.
Comme toi, comme toi. Laver tes yeux clairs et laver ton âme. C'était une petite fille sans histoire et très sage. Mais elle est pas née comme toi ici. Et maintenant.
As I'm watching a freedom of being suffocated tonight by both parties in the United States. A little bit of lip service from John McCain, a little bit of lip service from the Republicans, who are waiting for Obama to fall down so they can take the government back. And it's not going to work, guys. You have the wrong people at the wrong time, at the wrong in the wrong places. You have to restructure your party. You are in bad shape, and you don't even know it. You're hoping for this Obama to have a disaster, which he may well have. Okay, but that's not going to save you. You got to get out there and do your job. Now, let me talk about what Osama bin Laden is doing, because that's even more heinous. He's using the media. First off, he approached Twitter to take credit for and control of the uprising. I don't call it a revolution. I call it a resurrection. Because freedom has been dead, and it is now rising from the dead. Okay? So, the Obama people tried to hijack Twitter. And God knows what they would have done with it. But Twitter stood alone. The State Department, which is totally ineffective, ran to Twitter and said, please don't shut down. You're the only vehicle that knows what's going on in Iran. We have no intelligence. We are blind. We are just sheep. And Twitter stopped their maintenance to keep the window open. And the Iranian people trust Twitter. It's the only thing in America they trust. You got to remember that since 1979, when Carter handed over not only the Panama Canal to the Chinese, but he also handed over Iran to the mullahs, to the women pinching mullahs, and when they're not pinching them, they're hanging them off the back of tow trucks in the name of Sharia law. And God, I'd like to see the stories behind, I'd like to see the briefs on those cases. I wonder how many spurned advances and were strung up. But anyway, that's another cause a celeb. Let me go back to my point. My point is that Obama, as soon as these people started to show and speak up for freedom, Obama decided that he was going to do what the German dispatcher did in the Valkyries. Who is he going to side with? And his boss said, we have to side with the winner. And that's what Obama has decided to do. He is siding with the winner, and the winner is going to be Ahmadinejad. Jad. But Inshallah Bukram Mafi. God willing, it never will happen. Okay? And will the other guy be better? I don't know, and I don't care. I want these people to have their vote. If they think the other guy is better, and they voted for the other guy, let them have their vote. And let them vote in the United States, and their vote will be safer here than if it was a Clinton account in Switzerland. Let freedom ring. So, as I'm... today I couldn't get near a computer. I wanted to say so much, and I couldn't get near a computer. I was... The one I had was made of wood. But... So I was thinking about how the Iranians are really being stifled. And how they're being cut up. They're being cut to pieces. These guys that are riding around on motorcycles and on foot, and three against one beating somebody with a truncheon. They're also slashing them with straight razors. The box cutters that they use to hijack planes. Yeah. And that's what they're doing to these people. And every time you go on a blog site, if you check any of the blog sites and messages are coming out from Iran, they'll tell you, don't go to the hospital. Do not go to the hospital. They're arresting everybody that's in the hospital. They're probably killing them, too. They're probably killing them on the operating table. These people are cruel. These people have, they are dangerous and cruel. And if they'll do it to their own, imagine what they're going to do to you. Okay, so Obama and the media have already sided with the party of death. The party of death in the United States is joining with the party of death in Iran. And you won't hear anything in the media. They're selling out these people. They're ordering their Pontius Pilate of finger bowls. They're treating the American, Iranian people who are protesting in the streets as if they were of fetuses. Yeah. The only species in America that's not protected, the unborn. And that's, they're treating them like the unborn. See, this is the freedom unborn. These are the fetuses of freedom. And we all know how the Democrats hate fetuses. So, one party is as bad as the other. And it's time to throw them all out of office. And the Iranians are trying to do the same thing. So let's kill two birds with one stone tonight. And as I'm driving up the Garden State Parkway, heading home, during the day, my thoughts are flashed back. I got to tell you, abortion and this to me is the same thing. If you're going to kill a fetus, it's the same as killing the freedom. And I flash back to a cardinal in Washington, D.C., who gave a sermon about child murder. And he was condemning those who look the other way. I call those people the people that use Pontius Pilate finger bowls. Remember when Pontius Pilate washed his hands? My hands are clean. And this cardinal used as his example of Americans looking the other way, he used the murder of a woman in New York named Kitty Genovese. And what happened to Kitty Genovese is she was stalked by a man, followed into her hallway of her building, and he started to cut her to pieces. And she screamed for help. And I think this went on for about an hour. She screamed and screamed for help. And over 200 people in the apartment heard her screams for help, and not one person came to her aid. And I think that the murderer even left the scene of the crime, and she was still alive, and I think he came back and he finished her off. And nobody came to her aid. Not while he was killing her, and not after. And this cardinal used that as the example of American apathy in protecting life. And isn't it funny that tonight I'm coming up on the Garden State Parkway and I'm listening to Hugh Hewitt. I think it was Hugh Hewitt. And his guest was a fellow named Frank Gaffney, who is big on anti-terrorism. And what do you think he used as his example of what's taking place in Iran? He used the Kitty Genovese story. And I said to myself, you know, you as an individual, you know something's wrong, and you don't speak out about it because you think you're the only one who thinks that way. And all of a sudden, you hear a guy on the radio saying the exact same words that you're thinking. And that's why we all have to stand up for the Iranians and help them get their vote counted. And the best place to count their vote is on Twitter. Get those votes to Twitter one way or another. Let Twitter set up some sort of a vote receiving section. And let's get those Iranian votes counted so the world knows the truth. And having said that, let me just we'll take a break, and I'll give you a little more music in honor of all the fallen. And I understand that one of the guys who was shot, I think he's about 21 years old, he's a student, he's a science student, and his parents went to get his body, and the government said they couldn't give up the body. Now, this is a Muslim government, okay? And I'm pretty sure Sharia law says a deceased has to be buried by sundown, just like in the Jewish tradition. I'm pretty sure. And here, you know what they told the parents? You can't have the body until you pay a $3,000 a bullet charge, a bullet fee. They got to pay for $3,000 worth of bullets. How's that? How's that for spitting in the eye of the innocent? Let me give you a tribute to Nita. Did you ever see Nita's picture? She was beautiful. What do they do? What are they doing? What do these mullahs do? They like to crush flowers? Is that what they do for a living? I think they interviewed Nita's boyfriend today. The guy should be bringing her flowers tonight. Instead, the mullahs crushed the flower of freedom. Instead of songs of love, or we get a funeral chants.
With a song in my heart, I behold your adorable face. Just a song at the start, but it soon is a hymn to your grace. When the music swells, I'm touching your hand. It tells me you're standing near. At the sound of your voice, heaven opened its portals to me. Can I help but rejoice that a song such as ours came to be? But I always knew I would live life through, with a song in my heart for you.
I would live life through,
with a song in my heart.